We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Insane in the Membrane, Edinburgh edition.
Insane in the Membrane.
So this week I caught up with comedian, poet and author Rob Alton. We caught Rob in the build-up to the Edinburgh Festival. Now, those of you that don't know, Edinburgh Festival happens every year where it's a big arts festival, comedy, poetry, plays, all sorts of stuff goes up there. And it's a very, very stressful time for comedians. We're trying to, you know, get shows together that people will find interesting and hopefully we'll sell tickets because it costs an absolute fortune to take a show up there. So it's a very stressful time. And I caught Rob in the middle of it all. We're in the middle of the storm, getting ready for Edinburgh. And, you know, this whole season is about talking to comedians in their run-up to this festival and see where their heads are at. So we found ourselves in an office space in Avalon HQ, which actually sounds like we're stood in the toilets, but it's a big echoey room. So we did the best of what we could. Thank you to Avalon for letting us come down and use the space. So here we are, everyone, Rob Alton. So yeah, you've been busy today. You've been doing press.
Yeah, well, I've been did one with Mark Simonsen, which was good, all about jokes.
Yeah.
Which was interesting because I haven't really. I've got a few jokes.
Yeah.
I was saying about, I feel like I've got two wires in my brain that are kind of, they connect and spark about once every 3 years and I get a good joke out of it.
Yeah, mine's the same.
That it's like a joke.
Yeah.
Proper. And it's like, right, okay, I've got this now. But I just wish it had come around every bit more often.
Did you start off as a comedian? You started off as...
Performing, I guess. I mean, first gig I ever did was at a poetry night.
Right.
Because I used to work in advertising.
Did you?
Yeah.
What did you have to do there?
Well, to go back a bit further,
yeah.
I did a course in graphic design.
Right.
But it was all about concepts.
Okay.
So they were bothered about how it looked, but it was more about the idea behind it. So I was like, what job needs people who want to have ideas? And I was like, oh, well, I like good adverts when I'm on telly.
Yeah.
Because they're like a special treat, aren't they? Like, no, when you see a good advert on the telly.
A good advert is very, yeah.
You don't see them that often now.
No.
But like the old Stella Artois ones and the Guinness adverts and all those.
Tango advert.
Yeah, man. I was talking about those. Did you used to have a tango doll?
Yeah, I did. You had to send off for it.
Yeah. It looked like morph, didn't it?
Yeah, but it was like a weird angle, melted morph.
Yeah. But so I was like, what industry needs someone who wants ideas? So I moved out to London, tried to get to advertising, it took me ages.
Yeah.
And ended up at an advertising agency being like a creative, just coming up with ideas for adverts that was almost good.
Yeah.
But it's a business and I was coming up with too much weird stuff, really.
Yeah, right.
And they weren't up for it. So I was, I started keeping like these notebooks, and then the creative director was saying, oh, we're having a poetry night.
Yeah.
My flat tonight, there's going to be a fireworks party and a bit of poetry. And I was like, oh, well, I've written some stuff down in my books. I don't know if it's poetry or not. It's just writing.
Yeah.
Can I read some of it out? And he was like, yeah, yeah. So I did it and it went all right. Some people laughed, some didn't, but then they asked me to join a poetry night, and then I did poetry night doing the same thing.
Yeah.
And then we'd do open mics and people would be like, do you want to come and do my alternative comedy night?
Right.
And then just started doing Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And just trying to write these shows. But I mean, yeah, so I guess going to the brain side of things, like, yeah, I still don't know where I sit in any of it.
No, because I sort of came, I was aware of you through poetry.
Mm.
And then, yeah, and then you would, then I'd see you at gigs, at comedy gigs. So, yeah, you kind of...
It's just, for me, it's just all the same. It's like, so that whole thing of like not really knowing where to put myself is kind of a running theme throughout my life, really.
Yeah, you always felt that way.
I've always felt... like a bit of a bit at odds with everything.
Mm, yeah.
Being like, well, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure where that exists. And I get so troubled by stuff. Like my dad's always on about like, why are you so sensitive?
Yeah, same.
And I'm just like, well, I feel like I should be.
Yeah.
I don't feel like this is right. And the problem is that when you do what we do, traveling around, spend a lot of time on your own, going and doing gigs, like you can fester on stuff
and just be like, there
was a thing the other day, and I don't really look at, I stopped reading the news. I used to look at the Guardian website every day, really.
Yeah.
And I just had to stop. Because it was getting me down so much.
Same, I'm exactly the same. And yeah.
I was like, but I don't want to be ignorant.
No.
I think
it was the feeling of helplessness, because I see all this atrocity and all this shit going on, but I'm like, I can't fix it.
Mm.
And now I know about it, and I'm like, I know the world's fucked, but I can't, and it just used to get, it used to bother me that I couldn't help.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with that? What do you do? It's like, so if thing is, if everyone takes on a I can't do anything about it attitude, then the people who get away with things are going to get away with it.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what was getting to me the other day. And I phoned up my parents and my dad was like, look, you can't wind yourself up about stuff like this. Just go out for a walk.
Mm.
And the thing is, when you've got a bed and your desk is next to it,
yeah.
And I ate my dinner in there the other night as well because people were in the living room, and I was like, so you're sleeping there, you're working there, you're eating in there.
In the same room.
It's going to be like a dog in a cage, you know? It's like, it's just going to go mad.
Yeah. And you're just in this thought soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you're doing when you're writing an Edinburgh show.
Yeah.
And you're going and you're doing a gig and like you. Sometimes what gets me is like, why have I got no energy to do this gig?
Mm.
Why have I got absolutely nothing in the tank today? Whereas another time I can go on and be like, yeah, come on, I'm up for this. And it's such the gulf in those feelings is massive. And I am not... I'm probably, I don't know if I'm undiagnosed for quite a fair bit of stuff, but I've always got down to the point of, I remember one Boxing Day, I was eating my cereal and I just started crying. And my dad was like, what's wrong? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong with
just
me.
Just that much despair, just...
Just being eaten, and then like he gave me a hug and he was like, I never want to see you like that again. And I was like, I don't want to see myself like that.
Nah.
And I was...
Do you think it was just because it was the time of year or...?
To be honest, I think I've probably just been drinking too much.
That, yeah, there's that as well. But that's not to take away.
It's a factor, mate. Yeah. Like, that if you drink, say, I've probably been drinking for at least 3 nights, you know. Yeah. Night before Christmas Eve, Christmas Day throughout the whole day, Christmas Eve throughout the whole day. Like, the self-loathing comes hard.
Yes.
And... I know that if I had probably not been drinking, I probably wouldn't have been crying into my cereal that morning. But there was there's something else
going on as well.
There's something else of just maybe every now and again I just have a release of pressure.
Yeah.
Because I think to stand up and, you know, people might be like, oh, it's easy what you do. There's no pressure to it. But it's like... If I do this Edinburgh show this year, and it's not as good as my last one,
yeah,
I'm gonna be like ripping myself in half.
Of course, yeah.
Because it's like a vast expanse of space out there. I'm like, I've got to keep feeling like I'm getting better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I don't have a boss who's gonna tell me where I'm going wrong. It's all me.
It's all on you.
On this tightrope.
That responsibility is huge.
The responsibility is huge because you're responsible. Fair enough, I'm only responsible for myself. But if I were to have children, and I was thinking like, well, that Edinburgh show's been a nightmare. But I guess the thing is that I care about it so much.
Yeah.
And I don't want to, there's no way that I'm gonna let this show be anything less than better than the last one, because I'm just determined. And it's like, but all that, it's just such a it's hardcore.
It's good that you've got that in you, because so I think that you can really tell what kind of a person you are by how you react to certain things, and you looking at that and going, this has to be better. And despite feeling like a piece of shit for whatever reason, you're still able to find the energy somewhere to push yourself to make it better. Whereas a lot of people, myself included, over the years, I've just given up. I'm going, I can't do this. I've just not done it. And then that self-loathing gets to me and I'm like, I could have just done more. And now I'm more like, this is my first paid Edinburgh, and this year I'm feeling the pressure. And this year I'm like, no, this has to work. I have no choice.
Yeah.
I'm 47. There's nothing to fall back on. I'm unemployable. This has to work. And that's a massive pressure. But you recognise that, and you're still pushing yourself, which is great.
I look at, like, Kanye West, when he says, like, I don't take advice from anyone who's less successful than me. When I was looking at, I remember when I was growing up, like, looking at Quentin Tarantino on the DVD extras of Pulp Fiction, he was like, I don't have a fallback plan because I didn't have a fallback plan because I didn't want to fall back.
Yes.
And that's it.
I've heard that before, yeah. If you've got something to fall back on, you will fall back.
Yeah. So it's like, I think, you know, if you've made the leap to go, this is what I'm gonna do. And take the punches of it.
Yeah.
Like, one thing, when I was thinking about it, when I would go and do previews at, I did one at an art centre of my show about water that was in 2015, I think.
Yeah.
And, 2014. And I really, 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 really died on my ass. And, but I got to the end of the show, even though people weren't enjoying it. And I got to the end of it, and I remember the other performer was like, you go, that took some doing. And I was like, yeah. And then I did one the other week, and it was probably, I stopped after 35 minutes because I kind of learned now that if you're doing a preview and the audience isn't going for your stuff that you do at the beginning, that is your tried and tested stuff, then then the your new stuff that you're still trying to figure out what to do with it, if you do that, then they could probably like put a pin in the balloon of it before you've even, so it's like all that stuff to contend with of in your head and your I just wish you could like listen to my body a bit more and get out of my brain. Like you know, do you
have anything? Do you have any anyway anything you can do? Do you have what do you do to sort of relax or come away from stuff? Do you have anything, you know, not necessarily you don't say to yourself, you're like, I have to go and do something, but is there something that you just do, like you go swimming or something like that, and you go, oh, actually, no, I enjoy this.
Yeah. I'd go swimming. I live in Leighton, so I go to the Olympic pool, which is brilliant. Nice. And just walking, I've just tried to get into doing more exercise, which is just, I play the guitar not very well, but enough for me to get something from it.
Yeah, nice.
And yeah, I mean, it's just very, very, just to kind of, like, I feel like my heart is fine.
Mm.
And I watched a show recently, last year by Bryony Kimmins.
Yeah.
And she said, you've got to be certain that the thing that is chasing you is real.
Yeah, right.
In your head, and you know,
yeah,
so like whether it's some hang-ups you've got on this or this or this, or like what someone said to you in the past,
yeah,
like just make sure that you haven't made it up.
Yeah, right.
And I think, how can you do that?
Well, yeah, this is it. I've only recently really got my head around it and been a bit more zen about stuff. I used to beat myself up for ages, for just dragging stuff around, like my marriage was fucked, and I fucked my marriage, and then other relationships I've fucked up for whatever reason, and people have upset, and I said drag it around, and then one day I just went, I can't change it.
Yeah.
I can't, that's already been done.
Yeah.
Those people either understand why you did what you did, or they don't like you, or whatever, but you can't change it. Mm. Why are you dragging it around?
Yeah.
Draw a line under it.
Yeah.
And go, and if I see those people, I'll go, listen, I'm so sorry, and they'll either report, take it, or they'll tell you to fuck off. But
yeah.
Going forward, you've got to go, right, okay, I just won't, I'll be a better person, the best person I can be. I'll still fuck up probably, but stop beating myself up about stuff I can't change.
You know? And how'd you do that?
Yeah, you just have to. You just have to physically.
So have you been able to do that then?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's taken a long time. It's taken a lot of, I think it started with me going, this was my fault.
Yeah.
I can't blame stuff from my childhood. I can't blame whatever. I fucked that up for whatever reason.
Mm.
Okay, so let's start from that. And then from that, I'm going forward now, and I'm much more chilled out. I sleep better at night.
Yeah.
I'm eating better.
Mm.
I'm having better relationships with people.
Yeah.
And just from that, just from going, right, this is my fault. Okay. It's worked from that.
Brilliant.
And it works.
Yeah.
It works. So whatever you're dragging around from the past, shit you said or done or someone who hurt you.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no point in thinking about it because it's done.
Yeah.
All you can do is try and learn from it and go, okay, going forward, I recognise certain signs that I'll see that sort of thing happening again, and I'll know how to get around it.
Yeah,
I think that's the key. If you can do it,
trigger points.
Yeah, because also I was reading in Ruby Wax's book. I mentioned this on every podcast since I've read it. So Rob Beckett had brought it to my attention, and she breaks because she went back to Oxford and she learned about the brain and how it works, and then she explains it in the book, and it just reading that. Understanding that we are predisposed to negativity because of the hunter-gatherer thing we used to have keeps you alive to be negative.
Right.
That's why we lean towards that.
Right.
So it takes effort to be positive.
Mm.
And just knowing that has changed my life.
Well, yeah. So what? If you're doing a gig and there's 50 people there and two people in the front row look like they're having an awful time and the other 48 are enjoying it.
Yeah.
Then it's impossible to think about the 48.
Of course it is, but you just have to find a way of trying to do the gig over their heads.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm only just learning to do that.
Oh, it's hard, man.
It is hard.
And we all performers do it. Mm. Just say that one face.
Yeah.
And you're looking at him, and that one face will completely ruin your gig.
Yeah, it's a poisonous element, isn't it? And you're like, okay, and then it's just like, and then, but it's worth it. When was it? I was doing a thing. I just felt so shaky during the day, and I was just like a bit all over the place. And then I did this gig that was part of, it's called the Sofa Sounds. Have you seen them? It's like Sofa Sounds. They do music, and then I've done it where I do like some whatever I do in the middle. And then there's another musician, and it was in someone's front room. They do like three gigs a night in London.
That's brilliant.
Every night of the week.
Right.
And it's all over the world. And I went there in this front room and did it. And I was like, God, yeah, this is probably what is going to save me, really.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
And I love just being in that room and just...
I love shit like that.
It's, no, just whenever, it's like, even if a gig goes really badly, I just breathe it in and be like, at least I experienced it.
Yeah.
And it's just about just keeping on going, and just, I like, all the shows that I've done, I've just want to try and have a positive message of being like, it can be really difficult.
Yeah.
But... It's a case of just like try and find it in you to just get on it and it's
it takes effort. That's what I've been learning from doing these podcasts. It's work.
Yeah.
To get yourself out of bed.
Yeah.
To make your bed. To get dressed.
Yeah.
You know, because it's so easy to flop about in your underpants.
Yeah.
With beans in your beard.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But that's what Bruce Springsteen is so good at, like talking and putting that thing into words of like the working can make you feel like such a, give yourself such value because you've put yourself through something and like you're clocking in and you're doing it and you're putting effort in and it's so rewarding. And like his work ethic and stuff like that, I mean, it's because people like him exist who have... And then when you find out that he suffers from depression, like, what, really?
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and everybody on every level has their own shit.
Yeah, man. Which is, I just wonder, like, what it is that has, maybe something will change drastically in 100 years' time. People look back at what we would do, like, God, yeah, and then... They used to spend all the time looking at these phones.
Yeah.
Can you believe that people went through a stage of doing that? And they look at what it did to us, and like they're like, this generation was sent insane.
That's right, yeah.
And
we were given too much.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We gave them too much, and this is what happened. And that's what infuriates me and makes me feel that I'm free to do what I want, because in 1,000 years' time, people look back on what we thought the reality of this planet was, and they'll laugh, just like we look back in 1,000 years and be like, so, and you know, Brian Cox is always on about it. It's like, all science gets disproven, and like, it's like a fluid thing, and it keeps on moving. And you're like, so when people look at me when I'm mad on stage and I'm like talking about me being excited that I'm alive at the same time as a mango or whatever, a mango tree, and like me trying to stay excited about the fact that I need water to live and that plant needs water to live, and be like, I'm just so simple. We're so simple, but it's like everything's been so made so complicated, and it's like, you're this. It's like, no, I drink water just like that dog.
That's right,
and I've got eyes and I look at the world, and you're saying that, like, what, dogs don't communicate with each other. Well, how we don't, we've never seen the world through a dog's eyes, you know. No. They'll be like, okay, fair enough, you can do experiments and things like that. And it's like, so I haven't killed anything for ages now, not even like a green fly.
Yeah, right.
I don't
I pick snails out. I've been picking them up and putting them on the wall.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. If I walk along, I see a snail, I pick it up, put it in the bush.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, good. So when I was little, I used to stand on them.
Yeah, exactly. I did.
And all like flies, I'd let them out. I'd never kill them because we don't know what the reality is for them.
No.
Like, fair enough, it just looks like a little inconsequential thing, but it's like, it's been born and it's got something going on, and yeah. It's flying around and it's grown these wings, and you're like, it's got legs and it's trying to live.
Yeah, it's doing a thing. Yeah,
yeah, and it was born.
Yeah.
And it's like when someone was saying about eggs the other day, like, chickens just aren't having eggs for a laugh, you know. They're trying to have kids.
Yeah.
And then I'm there like eating an egg, being like, oh God.
But this is chicken effort.
You can't start thinking about it. It's too much.
That's it. You'll send yourself insane.
Yes.
If you try and.
Yeah, I know.
But what I like is that
I'm worried. I might have done it already.
I've been saying this a lot lately in gigs, just going, look, we don't know if there's something else after you, when you finally die.
Yeah.
You don't know where you go. You don't know what happens. So just stop worrying about it. And just look after this bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You go, this is amazing that you're here. It's amazing that you're aware that you're here.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, man.
Yeah.
There's some wonderful, like you said, there's wonderful things out there. And
Yeah.
And it's really hard to do that.
No, it's
when
brutal,
when the bills are piling up and you've maxed all your credit cards out and you know, of course it's hard to look around and go, oh, the world is a beautiful place. When you're getting fucked by the machine.
Totally.
You know.
I mean, I was at a reunion with my old uni mates. And recently, and one of my friends has got two kids now, and I was talking about my show and like this, like trying to hold on to the excitement of, you know, like all this amazing stuff around us. And it was like, yeah, but imagine if you had had 2 hours sleep and your kids have like been sick on this and this and this, and then like you're there talking about how good a mango is. People would just be like, shut up.
I've got
too much stuff going on for you to be getting excited about a mango, mate.
I came here just to have a break.
Yeah.
And you're whittering on about fucking mangoes.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's weird. So I guess I haven't really got that much responsibility in my life.
No. We're very privileged to do what we do.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And but it is. I do feel like, you know, I don't want to be. I just wondered. I don't think I've lost it. I don't think I've lost it.
No.
Completely. I still feel like. I feel like the highs that I experience when I'm just walking around.
Mm.
Like, not to sound like too much of an idiot, but like the epiphanies of being like, whoa,
yeah,
look at this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've got a bit in my new show of like, try to treat every day like it's your first, you know?
Yeah.
Like, look at your hand and be like, whoa, man, this is awesome. Look at these.
Yeah.
And you're like, and just to try to, and I just, well, I don't want to, when I get people who, in the audience, and they're just like, look at me like I'm so... of like from another planet, and I'm like, oh God, no, this is I know for a fact that if we think that this is the only place in the universe that there's any life,
yeah,
like you meant like
it's so infinite,
yeah, exactly.
Of course, there's life, yeah.
But it's like I was thinking about that. If you've got a scaffolding pole, right. And it was like a telescopic scaffold, and you started making it bigger and bigger and bigger, and it kept on going. It would just go forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And I was talking to one of my friends about that, and it was like, well, no, it would start bending, and then it'd come round on itself, and then it'd just be a circle. And I was like, no, I'm just saying, like,
just saying, if you had a scaffolding pole,
with
the capabilities, to just keep going.
But and then they're talking about the there's no. What I like watching about all the... When I read, like, the top scientists, and I don't know that I read it. When I catch a glimpse of, like, Brian Cox's latest thing when I'm flicking onto some other crap, and I see and I watch it, and he's talking about... All the top people are, like, talking about the unknown of it all.
Yeah.
They take it on board that they don't really know what time is.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a concept that we've made up.
Yeah.
To try to make our lives a bit more manageable.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know that this starts and ends, but it's like, it's such a big thing.
Yeah.
And then talking about like the universe and that, when they're like, so it just goes on forever and ever and ever and ever. So if it is infinite in every direction, like you're the center, the center of you is the center of the universe.
Yeah.
And I think that was like the flipping Dalai Lama or something who said that. And like, it is, it's true though, because there is no wall, there's no ceiling, there's no like brick wall.
Nah.
So it just keeps on going.
Yeah.
But all possibly. That shit leads into me being like, I'm not really sure what's going on.
No.
So when you, like I had a bit in my show about talking like the fact that I've been born onto a planet that's got an AK-47 and a piano on it at the same time.
Yeah.
And I've got to be like, right, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Is it? So that's a deal, is it? And you're like, right, so we're not going to try and change that now?
No.
Should we like melt all those guns down? What, do we really need guns? Yeah, I don't, it just feels like it isn't as pure as it should be.
No.
Like being born and then like see these babies and then they kind of start growing up and then it's in our nature to be like hitting people and I think it is.
It is, yeah.
Which is that, gutting.
Yeah.
You're listening to Insane in the Membrane's Edinburgh season. Scroll back through our past episodes from season one to hear from other comedians playing this year's Edinburgh Festival, including Phil Ellis, Simon Evans, Nick Revel, George Rigdon, Jen Brister and Ishan Akbar. All those podcasts and this episode have Edinburgh show details within the podcast description. Expand the details section on your app and come and see us.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This show is made by Dark Horse Digital. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.
Yeah,
I looked at a video the other day, again, as I was just flicking through, looking at other crap.
Yeah.
And it was the video of inside the brain, and it was the synapses popping, and they said, these are your thoughts.
Right.
And it was like electric sparks going off and joining, and it's like, this is you building new connections in your brain, and your brain will always do that.
Right.
So this again, in Ruby Wax's book, she explains that. She goes, you have to feed it. You have to do things and keep you know, feeding the brain. And if you keep feeding it, it will keep making those connections. But if you don't, if you just lay around all day and do nothing, after a while, like all muscles, it'll just become nothing. So it's good to keep aware, try and be positive.
Yeah.
And keep doing things and keep doing it. And your brain will always rejuvenate and do stuff. Yeah.
No, I haven't been reading as much as I'd like to recently, so I think that's probably something that it would be very good.
I mean, you've already achieved brilliant stuff, like you've had books published and, you know, that's incredible.
Weird though, isn't it? Like, I don't look at, like, when I remember the first time, I used to work in an art shop.
Mm.
I was a stockroom assistant when I stopped working in advertising and had done Edinburgh for the first time. And I was like, I'm just going to get a job that I can clock in and out of. And I'll do gigs on a night time. And I was like, I'd get up at 6 and I was in at 7:15, I think.
Yeah, right.
To work in the stock room. And I'd been doing gigs on the side, and then I got an email saying, do you want to come and do Latitude Festival in the Poetry Tent? We've got a thing called New Blood. So you do 2 10-minute slots.
Yeah.
And I punched the air and I was like, yes, it felt like such a moment.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I've wanted to do this for ages. And it was such a massive, I was like, yes, come on. And that moment then was like, that was it. That was, like, I did the gigs and they were good and fine, but nothing kind of compared to that moment.
Yeah.
And there's been other things when I first opened the box of my first book and was like, oh, this is my book.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, this is good. And then they come up, those things, and then the last for a bit, and then it just keeps going.
Yeah.
No, like, time keeps moving.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You're like, I remember, like, watched a interview with Robin Williams. No, I think he was talking to Marc Maron, and he was like, that stuff's so temporary.
Yeah.
And I was like, no way. You could, like, surely if you were Robin Williams, you would be like, hey, you know, I'm a great actor.
Yeah.
I'm a brilliant comedian and my life's great. But he said that, like, Marc Maron was like, what about the Oscar? He's like, you won an Oscar, man. He's like, yeah, that buzz lasted for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then I was on.
Yeah.
I moved on.
That's it, yeah.
It was just a bit of metal, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And so to think that no matter how, like, basically, I just want to keep on making work so that I can have that thrill of something, having an idea and then saying it to an audience. And then if I have an idea and I like it and then they like it,
yeah.
I'm like, yes!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant. And then, you know, if they don't like it, fair enough. But nothing is as good as, like, the work.
No. I think we have to see those achievements that, like, having books published and things like that, yeah, you have this mad buzz, like you say, like, whoa, this is incredible.
Yeah,
the buzz goes away.
Yeah.
But now what you have as part, which now boosts you up a little bit, is now you're now an author.
Mm.
And that then, people go, that goes in your, that's part of your armory.
Yeah, yeah.
And people are like, he's an author.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Let's get him to do this. So from that, you'll get work. Mm. More stuff will happen.
Yeah.
Then you'll get another explosion of something major.
Yeah, yeah,
another,
yeah, yeah.
But that'll be another building block that goes next to the author.
Mm.
So now you've got this foundation.
But that's all it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's building, trying to build a world for yourself.
But there's no end to it as well.
There's no end. No, there isn't. There isn't.
No. It's just, you'll do this now for as long as you want to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something else I got my head around the other day, driving to gigs. I'm like, no, this is what I do now. Mm. And I will do this until I can no longer do it.
Yeah.
This is my, there'll be amazing things that will happen, hopefully. But this is what I do now.
Yeah.
Until I'm no longer able to do it or I'm not here.
Yeah.
And once you get your head to that point as well, because you're always like, oh, the end game. Oh, that there's going to be a destination.
Yeah.
There isn't a destination.
No, it doesn't exist, no.
No.
Which is mad.
Yeah. But just that's the life.
And that's what, you know, that line in the Arctic Monkeys songs, people dream of making it, whatever that means. Like, I always looked at them and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Look at them. They must be absolutely buzzing, and they probably were.
Yeah.
But if they'd have stopped after that first album, that would have been it.
Yeah.
So they've got to keep on making the work and keep on making the albums. And it's like, when I was little, like a teenager, like, I was like, oh no, this happens, and then you can just kind of stop working.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen like that.
Nah.
It's the same as everyone. You've got to keep going.
Yeah.
And
go on.
What
yeah.
frightens me is, like, what if it does drop, like, if I stop having ideas or like, it, because it's so temperamental.
Yeah.
And, like, I was watching that new, there's a new thing on Netflix about Bob Dylan's like Rolling Thunder tour thing. And he's obviously getting on now, and there's a bit at the start where he's trying to articulate the Rolling Thunder tour, and he's like, "No, that's all a mess, what I just said." He's like, gets annoyed with himself.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, even if Bob Dylan is obviously not comparing, but any human, he's a god, you know.
Yeah,
that's the closest thing I've got to a god. And just like, yeah, it's mad, man.
It is mad, yeah.
So to try and think, okay, right, so I mean, I'm going away. I'm going to go and do some gigs. Tonight I'm going to Oslo.
Right, yeah.
I've never done any gigs abroad ever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no. I've done some in Belfast.
Yeah.
But I've never needed my passport to get to... you just use your driving license to get right to Belfast. But so, you know, 5 years ago, someone said you can go to Norway and do some gigs. I'd be like, wow, really?
Yeah.
And...
that's amazing.
Well, it isn't it? It's like, I'm just more focused on the gig.
Yeah.
Like, I hope it goes all right. I hope my preview goes better than the last one I did, because it was an absolute nightmare.
That's why we do the previews, though, isn't it?
Even though
you tell yourself that, I did a preview recently and it was nothing like the show I want to be doing.
Yeah.
And I was really pissed off because I'd succumbed to the need to get laughs rather than just standing, like you said earlier, getting through it and putting the show into the shape that you needed to be in.
Yeah. Putting yourself through that pain barrier.
Yeah.
Which is something that you only learn how to do it by doing it.
Yeah.
And doing gigs and being like, yeah, look, Rob, obviously this gig isn't going to be the best gig you've ever done. But you need to do this material because the ideas have come from the same place that the good ideas have come from before that are now that you've done and toured and like... So you've got to be like, look, just put yourself through it.
Yeah.
Put yourself through it. And I've got a thing, the show's all about time at the moment. It's like, right, that thing about getting in the moment, I'm like, right, I'm going to get in the moment. I'm going to look at like the varying levels of enjoyment on these people's faces because I've done that to them.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether people are enjoying it from their faces or not anyway.
No.
Because... thinking face is the same as hating face, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then
at some point they might, in their own heads, they might have wandered off a little bit,
or
you've said something that has totally inspired a thought in them.
But that's another special thing about performing, is like all these people, or the people who come to the gigs, it's like it's impossible not to be concerned with yourself in this world, because you're born into your body and you're like, this is you, and you're like, okay, right, I've got to focus on me. But if there's 25 people in a room, that's 25 individuals who've all got something going on.
Yeah.
Like I was doing a gig in Southampton I was doing a yellow show when I first started in 2012, and there was a guy sat at the front, and the vast majority of the people in the audience were having a good time. It was a good show. Not all of them were good, but that was a good one. And there was a guy in the front, and he was looking at me with his arms crossed and a fixed expression throughout all of it. And he was the only one. And I was like, oh God, this guy, he's hated this show. And then afterwards he came up to me and he was like, thanks so much for that. I've had a really horrible day today.
Wow.
And sorry if I didn't look like I was enjoying it. I was just taking it in, and I was trying to come to terms with the stuff that's
processing his own shit. Yeah.
Because that's it. People go into these gigs. Not everything stops.
No.
Just because they're sitting at someone on stage.
Yeah.
Looking at someone on stage. They've got like, we're all in it together.
Yeah.
And that is what I want to try and get from the saying my shows is like, this is, come on, like,
you see, yeah.
We've got to,
yeah,
and just have that humility and the humanity about it, and trying to get into each other and be like, come on, mate, you're all right, like, whatever's going on, it will pass, and we can just keep on going. And having a bit of empathy. And so when you see stuff on the news, like the fact that Boris Johnson, who is Like, he's even got stuff going
on.
You know?
Yeah.
He's got stuff. He'll find life hard sometimes. But if he will... If he just opened up a bit...
Exactly, yes. If they were just all a bit more honest.
Yeah. And it was like, yeah, look, okay, no more lies.
Yeah.
If that was a politician's... like their manifesto, no more lies, this is it, we're going to make this country better.
Yeah.
And we're going to tell it how it is. I'd be like, yes, please.
Yeah, exactly. We all would. We'd all we'd be so behind that.
It would
that
just be amazing.
Yeah.
But even Corbyn, like when he was, I was so behind him
in
the election.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what happened.
No.
And one of my favourite public speakers ever, Tony Benn.
Yeah.
When he would stand up and, well, Dennis Skinner, you know, when they talk from the heart and it's like, come on. And like, even, you know, when Theresa May showed that tiny glimpse of her as a person when she did her farewell speech, she was like, the country that I love. I'd be like, she probably does love this country.
Yeah.
And like, but money is a poisonous element. Yeah, and like,
when
they get the sniff of it and the success and power and... This is a bit off-brand, but I do a thing, the poetry takeaway, do you know? There's a burger van, and they gutted out the burger van, and you get three people who write poems, supposedly. Well, I'm talking for myself, other people are poets, I'm just a writer or whatever. And they come up and they say, it says poetry takeaway on the top, and then they say, people come and say, what's this? And say, oh, it's a poetry takeaway. If you give us some ingredients, we'll write a poem for you in an hour, then you come back.
That's brilliant.
And I got to do that at the World Economic Forum in Davos, at the top of a mountain.
What?
And it is the top of the mountain because there was a charity there who were trying to get kids to do more reading.
Right.
And they asked the poetry takeaway to go. So the World Economic Forum in Davos, it's basically the richest people in the world getting together.
Yeah.
To have conferences and things like that. So it goes from like Leonardo DiCaprio was there, David Cameron, the vice president of the US was there. I was behind George Osborne getting a free woolly hat from this thing. But the thing was, I was just like, it was just a completely different world. So these people who were in that bubble of... affluence.
Yeah.
It's, you're like, how are they ever going to get a touch it unless they get boots on the ground?
Yeah.
Which they maybe have. But as far as I'm concerned, they haven't.
No.
Because, you know, I hate. You can see why people are getting upset because people talking about like the food, you know, the films like people making films about food banks like Ken Loach. You know, what's that film called?
Daniel Blake.
It's like, the fact that people can look at that and call it like lefty thing. And like, what I struggle with is like, I'm like, are you joking? These people are really, really, really struggling. Mm. And these people are living in a completely different world where they're getting the freshest vegetables. They're going to the gym every morning. They've got personal trainers. No wonder that they're like, being able to do more stuff when there's other people who can't even afford a can of soup.
That's it. And then you get a Tory MP opening one, like a ceremony.
It's just...
Yeah, you absolute cunt.
It's gutting.
Yeah.
And the...
There's enough money, there's enough stuff in the world for everybody.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah.
So to see it, to be born onto this planet that is like such a fantastic place and to be born as like a human being at the top of the food chain, you're like... Wow, and then I see people and I'm like, don't spoil it.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really does, that gets me down.
Yeah, well, it's the pigs taking over the farm, isn't it?
It's just, and you're like, and then you see, you know, war and torture and all that, and you're like, wow, come on, please. No. And then, what are you supposed to do? What can you do?
Yeah.
Apart from, well, you can try and make a show that you take to Edinburgh to have an uplifting message and do it on a thing about time and talk about time and try and get people to make the most of it, and yeah. and like that's all that I can do at the moment.
Well, I found that with Edinburgh last year. After the first couple of days, people were coming in, and I was doing my normal thing. I'd ask them questions like, "Oh, how are you doing? Where are you from?" And then I started to suddenly realised. I mean, give me a cheer if you've been to see this show already today. Yeah. Oh, right. So give me a cheer if you've been asked questions already. Yeah. Right. And I went, okay, I'm going to say a word now. I'm going to say this word now. I went, Brexit. And they all went, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I went, look, this isn't a political show. I'm just going to make you laugh. It might be nearly an hour. It probably won't be.
Yeah.
You see how far we get. And you physically saw people's shoulders drop down and go, oh, thank fuck for that. We're going to have a laugh. And that was. And it made me feel better. It made them feel better. And that's why, yes, we could talk about these major things, but at the end of the day, we are jesters and we have to give people an escape.
Yeah.
So it's trying to shine a light on the awfulness in a funny way.
Yeah.
So people go, oh, yeah, that is fucked.
There's loads of quotes, isn't there, about how they won't remember what you made them think about. They'll remember how you made them feel.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, I think it's just trying to make people feel something. And be like, and the only way to do that is by talking about your own personal experience.
Exactly that, yeah.
And because the only thing that we've got that is unique is our own lives.
Yeah.
Within yourself, that's the only thing that you can possibly bring to the table to be like, yeah, this has happened to me.
That's right, yeah.
One of the weirdest things, like, I put a thing on the internet where I was making some lunch and I dropped a satsuma in a big pot of hummus.
Right.
And it was the quietest thing I've heard in absolutely ages, right? And I put it on the internet and it kind of got a bit of traction. I was like, what? Why is that? And I think what it is because it was a thing that 100% it was coming from a personal thing that had happened. And it's like, if everyone just brought the little tiny things that happened to them.
Yeah.
And that's what people do. And that's what makes people individuals. And that's what is the magic of it. Yeah. It's like,
and everyone can imagine that as well.
Yeah.
People go, oh yeah, that would be.
That would be quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah. It looks so comfortable, man.
Just that.
It was insane. Yeah. There was nothing. But then I've tried to add bits onto it, like it was like, yeah, that was quiet, but it wasn't as quiet as when I was on a train going from Edinburgh to York and a stag do from Glasgow got off at Durham. That was as quiet as, nah, it's shit, it's rubbish.
One of the quietest things I've ever heard was at a big coat, like hat stand, and it fell onto a beanbag.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was pretty quiet.
That is good.
Man, yeah, but it's nice that you've got that awareness and it's nice that you're able to talk about having that awareness as well, you know?
Yeah. It's,
some people just don't, like, again, Ruby Wax says it in her book, when you feel your mind going off, spiraling and you're overwhelmed and you're going down this horrible path of shit.
Yeah.
Take a step back and then just go, right, okay, cool, right, where am I? What am I doing? Oh yeah, I can feel my ass in the chair.
Yeah.
I can feel the table.
Yeah.
Okay, air conditioning's on, I can hear it.
Yeah.
Okay, oh, well, I'm drinking tea.
Mm.
And oh yeah, the tea's nice.
Start,
and then your brain will settle.
Yeah.
And then you'll go, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just because otherwise you're off and you know, just those little things can make such a difference. I've been practicing it all the time.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I read a book about, what's his name? I can never pronounce it, but it's like Thashnit Han. It's T-H-A-C-H. And I think he's a Buddhist monk.
Right.
And he's just got loads of brilliant breathing exercises. It's called Fear and How to Weather the Storm.
Okay.
And in one line was like, walk with your feet, don't walk with your head. So when you're walking, just think about your feet on the tarmac and see how long you can do it for. And that was great. I mean, I can only do it for like 200 meters or something. But even then, it's like an injection of just not thinking about anything.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, and so when you see people like that and it's like breathe in, and when you breathe in, say this to yourself, and when you breathe out, release the bad stuff.
Yeah.
Breathe in this and breathe out that. And it's like, yeah, you can see why people get into it and why Seinfeld's always on about transcendental meditation, isn't it?
Mm.
And like how you feel as though he's been plugged in. I mean, I'd love to get a piece of that, but I think it's quite expensive to get there.
And that's the key. It comes back to money, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah,
can all be pretty chilled out when the bills are paid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you on, Rob? Where are you? In Edinburgh. Oh, gigging.
I'm going to be at Assembly Studio 5.
Okay.
At 2:40 every day in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Any days off?
14th, I think.
Yeah.
It's the Tuesday in the middle.
Yeah. I'm straight through.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
To be honest, when I did last year, I mean, you do quite a few shows a day, don't you? Like,
this is the first year. Like, last couple of years, I've been in my show. I've been doing Jade's show in the evening.
Yeah.
And then running around in all these slots anywhere I could get on. And then someone said to me, you don't do that many because you're diluting yourself.
Yeah.
And I've already seen him. I don't need to see him again.
Yeah.
So this year, I'm more choosy about what I'm doing.
Yeah, big time. And the thing is, if you do a 10-minute slot at 8, it's only 10 minutes, but it pretty much takes up all your evening.
Yeah.
Or like, unless you're going from 1 to 1 to 1 to 1 to 1, I mean, people listening to this might be like, no, it doesn't. Well, it does for me.
Yeah.
And I was doing a thing last year where I was in a play.
Right.
At 2:50, and my show was on at 6:10, I think. And I didn't have a day off. I had a day off from the play and a day off from the show, but they're on different days.
Yeah.
So I went a month through, and it was probably better, actually.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, I don't really need the one.
No.
I think especially if you're getting some momentum with it.
Yes.
And then you have a day off.
Yeah.
You can be like, oh. I think especially as you start to get a little bit older, once you stop, it can be like, whoa.
So
I think that would probably,
and I treat Edinburgh as work.
Yeah, you've got to, haven't you?
Yeah, because I've done it. I've said this on other podcasts. I've done it all ways you can imagine. I've been up there as a flyer. I've been up there and been drunk every day.
Yeah,
I've been off my head every day. But the last couple of years, treating it as work. I'm going, no, I do my gigs. I might stay around and have a bit of a chat with someone, have a couple of drinks or something, but not getting on it, you know, and just treating it like that. And so I'm like, I don't want to have a day off. I'm there to do the gig. I'm there to get whatever I can out of Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And so I don't need a day off. I'll have time off afterwards.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And I think that is a good thing for the brain, not to be getting too lashed all the time.
Oh man, you don't need to be stood in Bannerman's at 5 a.m. every day. Because even if you're with someone who could benefit your career, they're never going to turn around and go, oh yeah, Rich, I was pissed with him in Bannerman's. We should get him in and do things. You're not missing out on anything by not going on the lash.
No. And it's I remember we did it in 2010, I think, with Bang Said the Gun, the poetry night.
Oh, no, with Laurie Bolger.
Yeah. And that was a heavy year.
Yeah.
But I was 9 years younger then, and so I mean, I'm 36 now, so.
You could rejuvenate quicker.
Yeah. to be honest, I look forward to Edinburgh every time.
I really am looking forward to this year.
I think there's no, I mean, because it's a paid thing, it's like, as long as you kind of shut off the noise and just focus on your show and have a good time and like, be like, if you look forward to doing your show every day, like even the show, it's the state it's in at the moment, would I look forward to doing it? I mean, I've got a lot of work to do on it, but there's bits in it where I'm like, one of the best things about Edinburgh is you get found out by yourself quite quickly, which is brilliant, because you're just like, oh God, I thought that that was good, but I've got to say it 25 more times.
Yeah.
I can't put myself through that.
Yeah.
It's, and so it's, I wish that I was going up there with the show that I've just done, and I did it in Edinburgh, toured it loads, because it's a finished piece.
Yeah.
I feel like I could do it and give people something decent. Whereas going up with the new show, I'm putting myself through the pain of doing it over and over and over again. But and by the time it gets to for me ready to tour it,
yeah,
then it's kind of getting there. And by the time I finish touring it, then I'm like, oh yeah, this is... Because you find out how to, when to speed up, when to slow down, what to say, louder, quieter, this, done. Here you go. It's like a meal. This is the product. This is what I want you to have.
Because I come from the club comedy background.
Mm.
Learning about that, slowing down, speeding up, quiet bit, loud bit.
Yeah.
That's all come from doing Edinburgh.
Right.
Because I'm like I said to you just now, I worry too much about getting to the laugh rather than putting a bit more ingredients in the build-up, making it look more colourful and more interesting. Because it's not just about being funny in Edinburgh, it's about being interesting, isn't it? The whole thing's got to be,
Well, it's a show, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know. I think there's definitely room for shows that are just if you're funny and you want to do a funny show, do a funny show. There's no reason why you've got to have like a bit in it where you're going into yourself or a bit talking about your mental health or whatever. It's like if you want to do something that is, a fantastic example of, like Spencer Jones when he does it, and you're just like. Just loads of people
funny,
though,
yeah.
where you, and it's but it's a fantastic test.
Mm.
And to get through, if you can put your brain through that, it is an assault course for it, isn't it? And you're like, okay, but the only way that you get through it is by putting the work in.
That's right.
Before you get up there.
Yeah, and that's where. I struggled. The first time I went to a show, I didn't put any work in, I didn't do any previews. I got up there and just thought, oh, I'll just do what I do.
Yeah.
And you're like, you get to 15 minutes, you're like, oh my God, I've done everything I know.
Yeah.
I'm fucked now.
Yeah.
Shit. So you learn from that.
Mm.
And now I've got previews coming out of my ears.
Yeah.
I'm actually sitting and making myself look at my books and go, right, fucking, even if it's not funny, just write it down.
Yeah.
And you'll work it out.
Yeah.
Actually doing work. But I'm really buzzing because of that.
Mm.
And like doing the podcast, I'm buzzing now because I'm doing all these things.
Yeah.
Like positive things, putting out into the world.
Yeah.
And
what I feel in it makes you have of when you, if you do make yourself sit down and then you just change like a little line here or there and you're like, oh God, I'm so glad that I did that.
Yeah.
Like there was a time last year when I was sat down in a park and I was doing one thing and had a bit of time before doing another and I just sat down and like got my sheets out and I was like, ended up having like getting like a new 10 minute bit of the thing and it was like, if I hadn't have done that, I wouldn't have it. But that's what another thing that drives me mad is the, it's all on chance. It's like, will you have a good idea?
Yeah.
Or not, you can't, for me, I can't sit down and make myself, I'm like, right, I'm going to write an idea about pairs now.
Yeah.
It's like, fair enough, I've given my thing about subjective time, but I don't sit down and try to write about time. I just like think about it and then if it happens, it happens and it doesn't. But it's like when if you get a joke and it's 30 seconds long and it can just come to you in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it's like just drives me mad. But, and it would drive anyone mad, but it's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And you get when you see the finished product and you get the shows up and running and you're into halfway through your run, and you're enjoying your show, it's such a buzz.
Yeah, but it's when that buzz comes, you've really got to grip onto it with two hands, because for me, I'll have, out of all the shows I do in Edinburgh, I'll probably have, if I'm lucky, 3 or 4, where I'm like, that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Or even less, where, you know those ones where, The audience love it. You really enjoy performing. Nothing goes wrong in the room. Yeah. So the tech's all right. Like, the light doesn't pop or whatever. And you just like, you get to the end of the tightrope and you're like, oh, yes, we got through that together. And then we went on a journey together and you come away from it. You're like, oh, fantastic. Whereas a lot of the time, there's so many things that just happen.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing a gig the other night, work in progress. It was going all right. And then a couple got some food brought to them in the club.
Yeah.
And it turns out that they were an American couple. And afterwards, someone said, they were like, yeah, I mean, that happens a lot in America. People eat whilst you're on stage. And I was like, look, I'm not your TV dinner. Do you know what I mean? I was like, you've got to give me your full attention.
Yeah.
I'm not up here for... Yeah. I'm not here to be like a little bit of side stuff for you.
Yeah, I'm not a DVD.
Yeah. Just give me your attention because I'm giving you mine.
That's right, yeah.
And like, I never want my gigs to be like that, where it's just like a bit of, oh, there's the entertainment, darling, yeah, you know, yeah. Like Henry VIII eating his dinner whilst a juggler tears himself inside out. I don't want to be that.
No, man.
But that's, you know, we'll see.
But I think that trying to focus on the positives in what we do.
Mm.
And the same with people that aren't in this industry. If they're, you know, whatever, if they're plumbers or they're wherever they are, you know, trying to make time to do something that you enjoy, like go canoeing or throw axes or do something, go for a walk. And because it's easy to get bogged down in the kids and the drudgery and the bills and the this and the that. And, but just trying to, you know.
Well, find something. I think it's just like, just pushing. For me, I'm just going to keep, I need to push myself to keep myself interested in the world, really.
Yeah.
And like not detach myself from it because it's too good.
It is.
Yeah. For me to be like, I'm done with that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't want to, I never want to get to that stage, and I can see how it happens.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like, you can just see, you're like, I can see where you're like, no.
You get to that point, oh, there's no point in this. Yeah. But just having this conversation with you, already I'm like, fuck, yeah. Oh, my God, yeah, this is fucking special.
Mm. Well, it is, and we've got to try and make it special for other people as well, and they've got to make a try. We've got to get in. Everyone, we've just got to try and look after each other a bit more, I think.
Absolutely.
And, like, just be like, have some feelings for as many people as you can. And, and just be like, even if it's just saying hello to someone that you don't know, I don't know, it's difficult, isn't it? Because you don't want to spread yourself too thin, but it's like, and you could wear yourself out if you tried to be nice to everyone, but it's an opportunity that everyone has got to just be in this together and like, and just go, let's try and make the most of it while we still have the chance, you know. And one of my massive heroes, Joe Strummer, is just talking about, just so into people and the fact that we're all there at the same time and it's all happening. It's like, wow, come on. And it's like, show people how good you are and just like, and not as a performer, but just as a person.
Yeah.
And just try and give it and make yourself proud of yourself.
Yeah. That's amazing. So, Rob, thanks, man.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely brilliant, man.
Insane in the membrane.
So that was Rob Alton. Brilliant Rob Alton. I've been a big fan for years and it was such a joy to sit and talk to him. Lovely man. You'll find ticket details to Rob's Edinburgh show in the podcast description on your app, along with tickets to my own show, Rich Wilson, Death Becomes Him, and the Insane in the Membrane live shows. The Edinburgh season continues next time with Jacob Hawley. And also, I'd just like to say thank you to everybody for tuning in and listening each week and for being so supportive. I'm genuinely blown away by how
successful this has been. It's really resonating with people, and I really enjoy doing them. Producer Paul loves doing it. It really is nice to know that people are listening and enjoying it. It's you know, and getting something from it. I'm speechless. I'm speechless. Big shout out to some people that have left us reviews as well. We've got Unnamed Woman left us 5 stars. Who else have we got here? We've got Leap from Ilsh. Also, thank you, Leap from Ilsh, for leaving us a lovely review. Craig 1874, also massive thank you to you, sir. Wonderful stuff. And Jock 683, again, thank you. You're all brilliant. Keep tuning in, keep looking after yourselves, and we'll speak to you next time. Cheers.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.